sacrifice. From the time shortly after the Garden of Eden, from the time that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit that was forbidden by God, and thereby committed sin, and sin was introduced to the world, God has required and commanded sacrifices to be offered on account of men's sins. We see those sacrifices being offered in Genesis chapter 4 by Cain and Abel. Throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of sacrifice. However, though the sacrifices may have been in different types, different forms, different manners, for different reasons throughout time, God has always required sacrifices. God has always required those things to be given. But even beyond that, there has always been a need and a requirement for daily sacrifice. This morning, for the next few minutes, I would like us to consider what the Bible says concerning daily sacrifice and examine whether or not it is just as applicable for us today, just as needful for us today, as it was for those during the time of the Old Testament. As we begin this morning, we want to begin by looking at daily sacrifice in the Old Testament. And then we want to look at some things that are said in the New Testament pertaining to daily sacrifice. If you would, as we begin this morning, open your Bibles with me to the book of Job in the Old Testament. Job chapter 1 is where we will be beginning our lesson this morning. As you go through and you look at the things that are stated in the Old Testament, we recognize that there were two different periods of time in which the Old Testament is broken up into. You have the time of the patriarchs. You have the time of the patriarchal law from the time of the Garden of Eden until the time of Moses, whereby God dealt with mankind directly through the fathers. During this particular time, we have a man who lived by the name of Job. Job is generally considered to be contemporary with Abraham and those of Abraham's day. But in Job chapter 1, as we get our initial insight into Job and his livelihood, we find in verse number 1 that Job was a man who was perfect and upright. He was one who feared God and eschewed evil. He was one who feared God, kept his commandments, and wanted nothing to do with and had nothing to do with those things that were evil. As part of his observance and as part of his obedience to God, we find in verse number 5 that Job was one who, it's stated in this way. It says, "It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Job was one who, as the patriarch, as the father, as the head of his family, was responsible for the offering of sacrifices for his family during this particular time period. And as such, Job went out having 10 children and went out day by day continually offering sacrifices both for himself and for them with the reasoning that they might have done something to have sinned, to have gone against God's law. And that as such, Job offered sacrifices continually for them all, that they might continue to be right in the sight of God. We move forward in time, and we come to the time of the children of Israel under the law of Moses. And when you turn over to Numbers chapter 28, in Numbers chapter 28, we here find God reiterating some commands that he had previously given in the book of Exodus. But I want you to notice with me what he required of the children of Israel, beginning in Numbers chapter 28 and verse number 2 through Moses. He says, "Command the children of Israel and say unto them, My offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot day by day for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord." God, through Moses, tells the children of Israel that there is to be offered for the children of Israel sacrifices continually, day by day, day after day. That on every day, the priests are to go in and they are to take two lambs of the first year without blemish, without spot, and they are to offer them one in the morning and one in the evening every single day. Now, as you go on through Numbers chapter 28, God will enumerate, and we're not going to take the time to read all of it this morning, but God will enumerate the different requirements and the different sacrifices which are going to be necessary on the Sabbath. The different sacrifices that are going to be necessary on various feast days and at various special times and things of that nature. But with every single one of them, the statement is made, and these are to be done on top of your daily sacrifices. Every day, there were sacrifices that were to be offered to God by the priests for the people. And on those days where the people had other sacrifices that were necessary, maybe it was a feast day, maybe it was the time of Sabbath, maybe it was various other days, those sacrifices were to be made as well, but they were not to be made to the exclusion of the daily sacrifices. They were to be made in addition to the daily sacrifices that God commanded. Every day of every week, of every month, of every year of the life the children of Israel, there were to be offered by them and for them sacrifices to God, gifts to God, thankful sentiments to God for the things that had been bestowed upon them, and repentance to God for the sins that had been committed. It was not something that was only to be done on the Sabbath. It was not something that was only to be done whenever the people assembled together at a feast day or at a special time. It's to be done continuously, daily. And there was never to be an exception. Daily sacrifices were to be performed no matter what else was going on and no matter what else was troubling them in their lives. They needed to make sure they had done what they were supposed to do. You move forward to the time of Samuel. And you find in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that as Samuel is beginning his work in the tabernacle in those days, that his responsibility in 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1 and going down through verse number 3, is to make sure that the lamp of God in the temple or in the tabernacle of the Lord did not go out. Why? It was a part of ensuring that the daily, continuous sacrifices that were necessary could be performed whenever they were needed. And it was a part of the reminder that God was with the people. You go back to Leviticus chapter 24 and you have there God stating that that was to be the manner of keeping the lamp in the tampstand. That was Samuel's responsibility, was to make sure that it never went out. Same with the sacrifices. They were to be continuous. They were to be daily. And somebody says, well, you know, that is all well and good, but that's all Old Testament. Yes, it is. So here's a question. Does God require of us the same thing today? And somebody says, well, no, not sacrifices for sins. You're right. When you turn over to Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8, there the Apostle Paul would write to the church at Rome, and he would say, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, and in verse number 28, we find that Christ was our sacrifice once and for all for mankind. That unlike those of the Old Testament, we are not required to offer sacrifices for sins because the ultimate sacrifice has already been given in the blood of Christ. The question, were the only sacrifices that they offered during the Old Testament ones that were sacrifices for sin? No. There were many different types of sacrifices and many different things that were sacrificed during the time of the Old Testament. And even though we do not have sacrifices that we are required to offer for sin, I believe that there are sacrifices which we are required to offer daily to God today. Just as God has always required daily sacrifices of man from the time of the Garden of Eden forward. Consider with me a couple of different ways that we are to offer daily sacrifices. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. There the Apostle Paul would write to the church at Rome and say, beginning in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says that we are to be ones who live our lives in such a way that it is to be a living sacrifice. That we are to carry our bodies, we are to carry our lives in such a way that we conform to His will. He says in verse 2 that we are not to be conformed to this world, to the things of this world, to the beliefs and the philosophies and the attitudes of this world, but that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, there's supposed to be something different about us as servants of God. That requires daily sacrifice. That requires me not just saying, I'm going to do this because this is what I want to do, or this is the easiest, or this is the most comfortable, or this is what is right for me. It instead requires me to say, this is what I'm going to do because this is what God expects of me. I am sacrificing my will to Him. It is His will, not mine, that I will do. We are to be ones who present our bodies daily as a living sacrifice. Holy, he says. The word for holy there is the idea of being set apart for His service. Acceptable unto God. If it is not holy, if it's not set apart to His service, and if it's not acceptable to Him through His word, we better not be doing it in our lives. If we are, we are not using our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are not daily putting our sacrifice of our lives and of our actions to use for Him. And yet Paul says in all of this that this is nothing more than our reasonable service. Fulfilling what is expected of us. We must be ones who are willing to live our lives as a continuous sacrifice before God. To be willing to give ourselves to His will. To what He would have us to do. And yet, how many times do we see people and come across people who claim to be Christians, who claim to want to follow God, but when they are confronted with what God expects of them and what God wants of them, they don't want anything to do with that because that would be uncomfortable. That would be inconvenient. I don't want to do that. That just doesn't seem fair to me. If we are not willing to transform our lives so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, we cannot be acceptable to Him. It requires being transformed in our minds. It requires putting someone and something else before my own wants, my own wishes, and my own desires. It is truly a daily sacrifice. But you know, there's another kind of sacrifice that we are to offer on a daily basis as well. Not just the sacrifice of our lives, but another kind of sacrifice. It is the sacrifice of praise. When you turn back over to Luke chapter 24, you find in Luke 24 the last statements of the book of Luke in regard to the disciples after Jesus' ascension. We read beginning in verse number 51, "And it came to pass when He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." You recall in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus had told His disciples that they were to stay in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, which would happen 10 days after the ascension of Christ. But it stated that after Jesus ascended back to the Father, they did go back to Jerusalem as was commanded, but that they were continually, they were daily in the temple praising and blessing God. The word there that is translated continually means constantly, always, together praising God. Every opportunity that they had, the disciples spent it in praise to God. You turn forward in your New Testaments to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the coming of the Lord's kingdom on the day of Pentecost. The giving of Peter of that first gospel sermon, the exhortation to be obedient to that will, to that command, to that law. And we find that on that day, there are added to the Lord's kingdom about 3,000 souls. But what did they do afterward? Verses 46 and 47 of Acts chapter 2 state, "And they," those new converts, those Christians in Jerusalem, "they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." They were ones who came together in the temple. They came together for times of teaching, times of preaching. They came together and they broke bread from house to house. They had times of fellowship. And they took time to build a relationship both with each other, but also trying to have an influence on those around them. They praised God and had favor with all the people. But when did they do it? Daily. Continuing daily. They were ones who were constantly found praising God. They were ones who were constantly found in one another's company, enjoying one another's company, working together, and striving to do the will of God. And they were ones who were constantly having a positive impact on those around them because they lived their faith daily. We have so many people in our society today who believe that religion, that sacrifice, that observance to God and obedience to God is only required at certain times and at certain places. That it's only required for some people maybe once or twice a year. It's only required, as far as some people are concerned, on Sunday morning, or it's only required on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But if we are going to be found acceptable to God, if we are going to be faithful to God, if we are going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds into what God would have us to be, our lives must be ones that show daily our service and our sacrifice for Him. We can talk about it all we want. We can tell everybody about who we are and what we claim to be. But unless we live it, it's worthless. It's meaningless. It requires daily sacrifice, a willingness to bend my will to His. The Lord's church recognized from its very beginnings the necessity for daily sacrifice. They came together to worship and to praise God on a daily basis. They came together to spend time with one another on a daily basis. And yet we have people who can't even seem to come together two times a week. How dedicated are we to God? How much are we willing to sacrifice for Him? What is more important to us? But you know, there's another type of sacrifice that is enumerated in Scripture. And that is found in Hebrews chapter 13. And it actually comes in with the things that we have been talking about. How do we show our daily sacrifice? How do we live it in our lives? In Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse number 15, the writer states, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." How is it that I show my sacrifice, my life of service to Him? The writer says, first of all, we must be ones who offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Well, what is that? The fruit of our lips in giving thanks and praise to His name. Now, this can be done in a variety of ways, can it not? It might be done through fulfilling what James talks about in James chapter 5 and in verse number 13. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. But you know, it could also be found in the first part of that verse too, about the necessity to pray We offer our sacrifice to God continually by being willing to give Him the fruit of our lips, whether it be coming before Him in prayer, glorifying His name, and being ones who are constantly developing our relationship with God, whether it be through song, or whether it be in teaching someone else the gospel of Christ. But notice, he doesn't just say that it's the fruit of our lips, but he goes on to say in verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." To do good. To do that which is right. To do that which is just. Right actions. We cannot just talk about it. We cannot just be ones who allow our sacrifices to God to end with words. They have to include deeds as well. They have to include the actions of our lives, doing what is right. But then he goes on to say, to communicate. The word there that is translated communicate comes from the Greek word koinonia. And it is the word from which we get fellowship. To communicate. To spend time with one another. To encourage and to uplift and to edify one another. The writer says, do not forget to not just say the right things, but to do the right things. To live your lives in accordance with God's will. To do good and to communicate. To affect positively one another by spending time together. By doing things together. Whether it be worship or whether it be other activities. We've got to spend time with one another. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Have you ever thought of our fellowship with one another being a sacrifice? It is. Because when we are willing to take time out of our lives to spend time together, when we are willing to miss or to skip certain things that maybe we wanted to do because I need to be with my brethren, when I am willing to set aside my own wants and my own desires to make sure that my brethren have what they need, it is a sacrifice. But the writer says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We are to live our lives as a continuous, daily sacrifice to God. From the beginning, God has commanded man to, on a daily basis, offer up sacrifices before Him. It does not matter what people, it does not matter what covenant, God has always had the expectation of daily time, daily communication, and daily lifestyle from His people. The question is, are we offering up daily sacrifices? Are we ones who are giving our lives over to God and we are willing to sacrifice whatever is necessary in order to fully be obedient to His will? Or are we ones who live our lives saying, every once in a while is good enough? When it's convenient. When it feels right. When things aren't going wrong and nothing's going badly, that's when I will offer sacrifice to God. That's when I will give as He wants. When it's special occasion, When everybody else is doing it, that's when I'll do it. Friends, that's not sufficient as far as God is concerned. We are to present our bodies, we are to present our lives as a living, continuous sacrifice. If we are not willing to do that, we cannot be found acceptable before Him. Sacrifice is never something that is easy. It always requires giving something that I'm not going to get back. That may be giving of my time. That may be giving of things that I find to be fun or that I find to be enjoyable, but they don't fit with the lifestyle of what God expects of a Christian. It may mean giving of my wealth or giving up my wealth because it's standing between me and God. It may mean any number of things. The question is, how far are we willing to go? What are we willing to do to be pleasing to God? The precedent has been set throughout the entirety of mankind's existence on earth. It is seen in every aspect of Scripture. And the effects that it has on our lives and on our welfare can be seen emotionally. It can be seen mentally, physically, and spiritually. Can they not? When we are ones who fully give ourselves over to what God would have us to do, and we put all of our energy and all of who we are into striving to be what God would have us to be, it makes a difference in our lives. Are we willing to do that? I can't answer for you just like you can't answer for me. But we will all answer to God. There is one here this morning who has not yet been obedient to the gospel of Christ in believing that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross, to shed His blood so that we might be saved. In being willing to repent of those sins which stand between us and God, to turn away from them, to do them no more, and to live our lives in service to Him. To be willing to confess Christ before men, both in word and in deed. Not just now, but for the rest of our lives. To be immersed in water. To come in contact with the blood that was shed on our behalf and to have our sins washed away. To begin serving Him. Will you do that today? If you are already a member of the body of Christ, but you've not been living your life as a daily sacrifice, will you start now? Will you make the changes that are necessary in your life to be the type of person that God wants you to be holy and acceptable unto Him? If we can assist you in any way this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?